the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Right, it is time for us to turn our attention to the Gaelic Players Association. Their annual general meeting is on in the next 24 hours or so, and we're going to be hearing from Paul Flynn in the next 24 hours too. But I'm delighted to say with us are Cathal O'Kane of the Irish News and Bernard Flynn, both of whom have in their own ways been very vocal critics of the GPA over the last while. And so we figured we would air some ideas about what the future of that organisation should entail. Gents, you're both very welcome and thanks very much for joining us this morning. Cathal, if I might start with you, what do you think the future for the GPA should actually entail? What role should they play, if any, in the future of the GAA?
The GPA was set up to play a very important role when it was established, back at a time when inter-county players felt they were getting such a raw deal in terms of pretty much everything, that a body had to be established in order to protect them and give them some sort of support. Over time, that has morphed and changed sort of almost beyond recognition in terms of what the GPA does. Now, they would argue that it hasn't changed and that their modus operandi is still the same, to protect player welfare, and they do, but it's the way in which they now do it, and the GPA's way of going about things has been more. We need more money, more programs, more of everything. And to me, the solution is less, and not just less in terms of what the GPA have or what they get, but the whole thing has mushroomed to a point where, you know, this is not me saying it or any of Bernard saying it or you saying it. Like, there are reports there. The Esri report in 2018 was a massive study. Over 1,000 players filled out that survey and went back to Esri. And, you know, the overwhelming message was that what they were doing was not sustainable. It was impacting the players' mental health. And it was, you know, putting a massive burden on inter-county players. And obviously, the 31 hours a week stat has been thrown about a lot in the time since. And that is the core of the pressure. That is the core of why fellas are feeling so overwhelmed. Look at the winter past. It's sort of forgotten now and everything. Like, but look at how many inter-county players opted out over the winter we've just had. And, like, the demands being placed on them are growing and growing and growing, and the GPA's answer to that is, well, we need more. We need more money for food, for gear, for travel expenses, for everything. And the more, you know, you can't blame them in a point for that, but it's only making the problem worse, and it is driving the split. And the GPA have always said, you know, they're against professionalism, against driving it that way, but their actions are driving that split. And so to me, their future is to do what they were set up to do and to do what they still say that they are doing, to look after the players' welfare. But I think they have to do it in a very different way.
Interesting points there in terms of who shares responsibility for the cult of more within the GAA. And I want to come back to that. Bernard, I want to get your take on the original question, really, essentially, is what should the role of the GPA be, if any, in the future of the GAA?
It should be an independent role, Gerald, and I think that's the problem. The role in the future of the GPA within the GAA would be determined by the GAA themselves. They're actually compromised now. This is the big, big problem. Care is right on a lot of issues there, and I'll come back to one or two. The biggest problem at the moment, the GPA are compromised. The wages are paid effectively by Croke Park. So you cannot be an independent body. You can't act independently. Paul Flynn has come in, who I would have had great respect for and high hopes for him in his role. I've been a little bit disappointed so far, but maybe lack of leadership, lack of conviction on a few issues. That might change. But I do believe Croke Park have the GPA exactly where they want them. Now, is it value for money? To me, it's not. But I believe Croke Park and head office don't mind paying X amount to have the players and the players' body exactly where they want. So I think Croke Park have been much cleverer here. much happier. They might send out different sound bites, but the GPA are in a rock and a hard place because effectively, Croke Park are calling the shots. Tell me an instant where they haven't in the last year to 2 years. And I do believe they've lost direction, they've lost leadership, they've lost what they're about. The GPA was brilliant coming back years ago. I remember the days, Ger, where, I mean, players were being abused. All that end of it, they've done all the great work years ago. But what's going on, I believe, now, over the last number of years, they've went down the wrong path. They've got involved in stuff they don't need to. And Kerr hit the nail on the head. I was on a couple of months ago, and my primary issue with the GPA is, under their watch, all of the players and the demands have got worse under their watch. They're the welfare, looking after the welfare of the players, but it's got worse and worse under their watch. They have to answer for that.
Okay. In getting, do you mean the demands in terms of the number of training sessions and the farrago that is the fixtures list? Can I just play devil's advocate for a moment about that, Bernard? Like, they don't make the fixtures. They don't actually have power to change those unless they organise a strike. There has seemed to so be a sense from the players that want to go on strike. And maybe good, right? Maybe it's the only way to fix this. But is that not essentially the GAA's role to fix all those issues?
It is. The GAA aren't going to make much change, Jared. There's no point. The GAA themselves as a body change very, very little. We've seen, I'm not going to go over them all, when they're forced into a situation, they'll change their mind, to go with public opinion. The GPA are there to actually represent the players and the fixtures. That's the one thing you've just said there. What have the GPA done, or what initiative, or what stance have they taken to represent the players and say, stop, enough is enough. It's unsustainable. Every report comes out. I go back to the actual report 13, 14 years ago. I have a copy of it here in front of me. The results are the same in every report that's been brought out, but nothing changes. It gets worse and gets worse, and we hear about welfare, mental problems, players under stress. Look at the students' report. I'll anyone care to read that? That was damning. And under the GPA, that's under their watch, their players, in my opinion, not all the time, but a lot of time, it's getting on the verge of abuse with the hours and the commitment. And it's a runaway train, and the GPA have not done anything to stop that and try and sit down and hold Croke Park accountable for the fixtures end of it, as you mentioned.
This is the cult of more, Cara, essentially, that you're talking about. Matches, more attendance, sponsorship money, and what can the GPA do to halt that? Because I certainly would feel like Croke Park would have a big responsibility when it comes to deciding, well, actually, you're not allowed to spend all that money on team training anymore, and we're going to condense the season, and we're going to make it less demanding on players, and we're going to have a clearly defined off season. So that's why I kind of sometimes, I just wonder about holding the GPA to account for that when actually Croke Park doesn't seem to get held to account for it.
Croke Park won't be held account to anything. They just won't. It's genuinely, they won't. There should be a single, it should be centrally governed by a single body. There should be an off-season, a shortened county season, and a defined club season. That's all that has to be done for everyone to be a little bit more happier and contented than they are at the moment.
It seems to me sometimes, lads, that change is affected in the GAA in one of two ways. That, first of all, you can get stuff through Congress, which is a complete mess on occasion. And good luck trying to trust any motion that you feel is good and well-backed and putting it in front of the delegates at Congress, because there's every chance it might get defeated. The second way is drastic action, something like strike. And we've seen that down in Cork before. Is there a third avenue here where progress can be achieved from the GPA's front, because we're having that conversation now, but any other body trying to deal with the GAA? I might put that one to you, Cathair.
There's not really any other avenue. You know, the Congress is a hugely frustrating body that that has tended, particularly in recent years, to go along with the will of Croke Park and the size of the overseas vote and all of the stuff that we know about it. It has become a very frustrating and not really a reflection of a democratic process at all. You know, it's held up as a democratic body, but it doesn't really fulfil that role anymore. But just to go back to Jerry's question as well, and you know, yes, the GAA, Croke Park, are ultimately responsible for the layout of the Intercounty Championship, for the way that it's played, for the length of time that it takes and all of that. The problem being that we haven't seen, or if it's there, I certainly haven't noticed that the GPA actually doing what we expect of them, and to put real, sustained, proper pressure on the GAA to shorten that season. You know, the GPA have gone along with, you know, the like of the Super 8s, even though they think they came in very last minute against that, but it was too late to have an impact, if I'm right in recalling that. You know, the like of the round robin system. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up in two things. But
second tier, I think.
Yeah.
The second tier competition there was, yeah.
Yes. So, you know, what we're not seeing from the GPA is a proper pressure on the GAA, right? How do we solve this? How do we reduce what inter-county players are doing and the demands on them? Well, the only way that we can do that, if you have a 9-month or 10-month season, that is as many days as is in 9 or 10 months. County teams are going to train 4 or 5 times a week, so they're going to train all of those times. So the only way that you reduce the demands is by reducing the length of the season. And we have seen no proper evidence that I've seen of the GPA actually looking for a properly shortened, condensed, almost a split season, you know, which is one of the things that the CPA would have put forward in the Fixtures Review Committee and the idea of a split season. And, you know, realistically, it's not going to happen. And there is resistance to that from the GAA as well, as a, you know, the central body. They are adamant that, you know, we need a longer season. We need the All-Ireland. You know, they were very resistant to moving the All-Ireland finals out of September. So, you know, the GAA is absolutely a big player in this. But what we expect of the GPA is to say, look, players are being adversely affected by the length of the season. Their lives are being massively affected by the length of the season. We need this season cut. And you keep hammering it, and you keep hammering it, and they just have not done that.
Go on.
No, just if you look at it, take a couple of things in the context here. Like, the amount of stakeholders involved in the whole association, there will be no real change. Now, the GPA is just one of those. The CPA, I think, has a big role to play and trying to do an awful lot of really good work voluntarily on a shoestring. I think they've been hugely undermined, and the CPA and the GPA should be getting together as one, as far as I'm concerned. But going back to the main issue, Congress doesn't work. It really doesn't work. It works for the GAA and what they want to actually achieve. Delegates have went up there with certain decisions made before the Congress, and they're, you know, I won't say they got to, but they changed their mind literally overnight that morning because certain things happened. We all know that. The GPA at the moment has no interest in shortening the season. They've actually, over the last couple of years, they've actually endorsed more games. That's what they've done, which is fine. It is fine if your players are happy. But then every report comes out and contradicts exactly what they're trying to do. There's a massive problem in the GAA. You're not going to solve this until it's centrally governed at the top by professional people. And you take away an awful lot of the chiefs, central councils, I mean, dictating to the GAA, who they're literally obsolete now, but they've huge power, massive power. Congress is completely, it's total non-entity as far as I'm concerned. That should be all taken away. Simplify the whole lot. The GPA now have got away for a couple of years with murder, I believe. The brand is damaged. There's no question about that. It shouldn't be. It should be revered. It should be respected. It should be one the players are so proud of. A Leitrim player, not just a Dublin player, Carlo player. It's not the case. The top players, we all know what's gone on over the last number of years, they haven't been treated the same, despite the sound bites and what we've been told. So Paul Flynn has a massive job in his hands. But the one thing, if I was sitting speaking to him, or I was asking him a question, how does he get over taking on and staring down his bosses who pay him and his staff all their wages? I don't think they can rock the boat. And for me, they won't have a huge say over the next couple of years. Croke Park will dictate. But the big question, Gerard, is look at the revenue that Croke Park and the GA have lost and are going to lose in these couple of years. COVID, next year it'll be there, all that end of it. Money and finances now are at a premium. And, you know, what's done with those is huge. And is 20 million over 3 years the GPA value? Absolutely not for what's going on at the moment. The charters are in place. Croke Park could look after that themselves. And I said this a few times in the past, and I spent a lot of time in research. I said a number of years ago, county players would be getting $5,000 a year. I said 2 years ago, county players, if they got $10,000 a year, add all their expenses in together, forget about the GPA, you'd see very little problems with mental health. And I mean that with absolute respect. And if their expenses and out-of-pocket expenses were sorted, maybe it is the time to channel the money properly in to the players and look after them with expenses properly, straight directly to them, and maybe cut out the GPA. I don't see, yes, a great role in the past. Going forward, unless things change, I don't see the role that they will have that will make significant change to players in the future.
So your argument is essentially that they fulfill their function in fixing the relationship between players and the GAA centrally, and having done that, there's actually no need for them to be in existence anymore. That's
with their, under the present format and what they're about, I actually believe that.
Carr, the point about getting the fixtures fixed, right? If they were to beat that drum and to beat that drum relentlessly over the next couple of years, while they still did all of the career guidance and the rest of the mental health initiatives that they talk about, would that transform the organisation in your eyes, or are there other things, other elements of it that actually make you feel uncomfortable as a rank and file GAA member as opposed to as a GAA journalist as well?
Look, they have to start somewhere. As Bernard said, the brand is damaged. And by that, not only is the GPA's brand damaged, but I actually believe that of late it has become harmful to the players. The players have started in the eyes of some of the public nearly to be viewed negatively in their association with the GPA, and the GPA are driving this one way, and the players are, while not going this way or that way publicly, they're being dragged along by the direction the GPA is going, and it's actually hurting the perception of players. I think the perception of the GPA among the ordinary rank and file is a very, very negative perception. People do not have a good view of the GPA and what they do. So that is a massive issue for them to address. I think
that's not about the fixtures, though, is it? That's about the money.
Exactly. That's about the whole drive and the juggernaut towards semi-professionalism and all of everything that comes with that. And sort of by proxy, the fixtures is linked into that because of the overwhelming size of the inter-county game in terms of how it affects the calendar. And then you have, you know, clubs that don't know their fixtures, or, you know, like in several counties would see big long breaks in the summertime when there's no club games, you know, 6, 7, 8 week breaks of no games for club players, which is, you know, crazy stuff.
I always find it mad that the GPA shoulder the blame for that. I got to say, I don't understand how they're the ones that end up carrying the can for that when that's down to local administrators and the central organisation.
But it's down to local administrators, and like I would know a lot of them, and I've been involved in different things and conversations, and even tried looking at it myself, you know, tried doing up a calendar a couple of years ago, and you're just so restricted by the inter-county game that, you know, county secretaries and CCCs are doing their best in with basically their two hands tied behind their back, because they either have, you know, the big long break in the middle of 8 weeks and let the county team, or 8 or 10 weeks and let the county team play away, or you have to play away club fixtures and no county players played. And in some counties, like, that's just not acceptable. In some counties it is, but in some counties clubs will not play, you know, a big percentage of their games. And like, for my money, it's one of the big problems. I don't think they should be asked to play the vast majority of their games. You know, there's all this chat about, well, how do county teams prepare for championship? And, oh, we need April. We need to be training in April because we have a big game in May. Clubs have big games. Clubs want to win championships. Everybody has big games and wants to prepare. But the inter-county game has just completely taken over. And the reason that the GPA shoulders so much of the blame is not so much in what they do, it's in what they don't do. And they have done, to my mind, absolutely nothing to prevent this, to turn this back on its heel. And it's a culture of more. You know, they want more. They think more fixes the problem. That seems to be the way that they are approaching it. And to me, more does not fix the problem at all. It makes it worse.
It's been interesting seeing some of the criticism of the GAA over the last few weeks, actually, when we had this discussion about inter-county teams going back early, breaking rules to go back and train, and then the GPA saying that, obviously, we don't want our players going back early, but should you break the rules and regulations, we would like our players to be insured. And naturally, that was a bit of a lightning rod on the back of the GPA. There was a lot of criticism for that particular stance at the time. Another way of looking at it potentially is the fact that the GPA were rooted in the reality here that inter-county players might be brought back to train a little bit earlier. And it's much like the Super 8's point that you made, Cara, that maybe they were based in the reality at the time that the Super 8's were going to come and they either had to give their support for it or not do anything. And when it became clear that the Super 8's were in, they then had to lend their support on whatever level the players needed at that point. Like, I sometimes wonder if the best thing to do is to not actually do anything sometimes, where these big changes or these big motions are passed in Congress and the GPA have a decision to either support the players with the extra workload that has been bestowed upon them or do nothing at all. And it seems that there is quite often a lot of criticism for them trying to make some bit of action. I'm not sure if that's something you'd agree with.
Well, the Super 8 thing, I go back to the fact that they jumped into that debate at the very last minute. I think it was a couple of days before Congress, they put out a statement on players being against it, if I recall correctly on that. So, and they would have been better at that point doing nothing, as opposed to jumping in at that stage when they could have had no impact. And it looked to all, you know, and the idea that Bernard had that, the, you know, almost their silence has been bought by the wages being paid. And that all comes from that. You know, it's right. We jumped into the idea, or we jumped into the debate. So we made a point on it, but, you know, everybody could see through it and see that, you know, had you maybe done this a month ago, created a discussion and, you know, maybe influenced the debate. Instead, by the time you did it, counties had the decision made. Half the delegates were on their way travelling down to Dublin. So, you know, with their decision made. So, like, to do nothing, no, I don't think it's acceptable for the GPA to do nothing in a lot of cases. I think what they do in a lot of the cases is they would survey players. And I think that's probably a good thing to do. It's probably not the wrong road to go down. But they seem to impose very little pressure as a result of the surveys that they do. You know, if the players have a position and the GPA feels strongly, and I understand that they have a limited power in terms of their voting power, you know, they've only whatever one or two votes at a Congress, and in that sense, but what they have is a massive power in terms of being the representative body for the players who are affected by this. They could, you know, certainly influence the debates on these things at a much earlier juncture. They could, and not for, you know, Paul Flynn doesn't need to come on and give Paul Flynn's opinion. He's reflecting the opinion of the players and the people that he's representing. And, you know, like, are Leitrim best served? Are Carlow best served? Are any of those Division 4 counties, Division 3 counties best served by a Super 8? Are they even best served by a backdoor championship at this stage? Like, it's such a massive impact on club fixtures and all the rest of it. you know, so who are the GPA serving? They talk about an elite sport, and it is an elite game, but it's an elite game for the top 5, 6, 7 counties in both codes. You know, football has gone very much the way of hurling. And outside of that, you know, everybody's striving and struggling to keep up, and they're spending all their money trying to keep up and failing it.
OTB AM.
That was Carol Kane of the Irish News and Bernard Flynn talking to us about what they see the future of the GPA as. And we'll be speaking with Paul Flynn, the CEO of the Gaelic Players Association, on tomorrow's show.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.